Hello, lovers and friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Romantically Lit podcast featuring two undercover hopeless romantics who kiki as they review different Black romance novels from across the diaspora. It's your girl, Hana.
And I'm Odelia.
And on this episode, we sunset our favorite 9 out of 10. Yeah, we're already rating it, y'all. 9 out of 10 book. A Very Giddy Christmas by Tomilola Coco Adeyemo.
Oh, Adeyemo.
Adeyemo.
She got to drink water, y'all.
Yeah, sorry, y'all. Thank you. Yeah, so today we're going to go through the final chapters and lots and lots and lots and lots of spoilers. So if you haven't listened to our first chapters episode or the middle chapters episode, I suggest you head on over to your favorite audio streaming platform and take a listen, because like I said, we are going to spill the tea and all the details and come to a conclusion as to what we feel about these characters. And while you were there on Apple Podcasts, YouTube,
Spotify,
SoundCloud, whatever it may be that y'all like to listen to, go ahead and check out our equally romantic book reviews that we have reviewed in the past, such as I give this moment to Odelia to shine as well. So let me share the stage, because not I'm not shy. Just Beyonce, okay? We are Beyoncés. Go ahead, Odelia. What are the books that we reviewed?
We read from across the diaspora. What do we read? Well, we read this book, okay? If you also feel like going back to Nigeria, but also have a sprinkle of the city we love so much, in the 2010s, it was famously known as the Six. Fatima Bala has something for you. Broken, Not a Halal Love Story. If you want to go to New York, there's The Perfect Match by Tia Williams. There's A Love Song by Ricky Wilde by Tia Williams. There's 7 Days in June by Tia Williams. She loves New York, and she'll sprinkle in some Louisiana in there for you, too, because that's, you know, where she's a Creole woman, okay? And then we got Miss Candy Rhyme. We love her Skyline series on here, which is a little fake place in Atlanta, okay? Read it. Love it. There's nothing to hate there. Then we got The Partner Plot by Christina Forrest. It's a little small town. It sounds like New Jersey, but we go to LA a few times.
Yeah, LA, New Jersey, somewhere. And it's a trilogy as well. So we're going to be revisiting Christina Forrest in the new year and read all her stuff as well.
But if you London. We got I Don't Have You by Sarita Domingo. We have Bolu Babalola's Love and Color. We got Bolu Babalola's Honey and Spice. We got Yinka Was Your Husband by Lizzie Damilola Blackburn. We got, what else we got? Oh, if you want to go back to Nigeria, we got Where We End and Begin by Miss Janie Garo. Detroit, we got Ebony Liddell's Love Radio. We got in Winter, more Winter books, A.E. Valdez and her Three Kings series. We read a lot of books. We try and cover everything. We're always looking for suggestions. So if you didn't hear your country on our little pinned map so far, please send it our way. Even if it's not in English, but if we can translate it, we'll read it. Okay?
Or we'll just hop in Duolingo and learn it. And as always, in this love shack of ours that we call our Lekko podcast, we embrace all different types of love tropes. And you know for a fact we reviewed something just for your liking. Okay, so oi mate, let's get into this.
Okay. Okay. Welcome. As my beautiful co-host stated, we're wrapping up this book. We enjoyed it so much. I'm sad to see it go, but I will say this, despite it not having an epilogue, I was happy. So guys, when in my campaign against anti-epilogues, we won't be talking about my sister here. My sister told me, Lola, you leave her alone, okay? She didn't do nothing. She did her big one in here, okay? But we're going to wrap it up. And I love this part two. This is essentially chapters 15 to 20 or part two of the book. One thing I'm noticing is the Nigerian writers, when y'all say part one and two, you mean part one's about two to thirds of the book. And then part two is like just this much. Don't know the math towards it. One of you explain it to me. But I love this part. It just feels so lovey-dovey and, like, everything working out in the way it's supposed to kind of moment.
Yeah.
So, now I can finally say the quote I wanted to say last episode that I almost said. So the last time that we saw our characters, they were getting murried, okay? They dun-dun-dun-dun, down the aisle. And despite it being half a sham, it worked out, and they love it. I love it. You love it, you know? And in that, they went to their reception. They had a great time. They said, real talks, I know about 20 people here myself. You know about 20 people, but our parents invited, like, literally everyone, even though it's a small wedding, okay? And Kunle's auntie, Yetinde's mom, is it Yetinde? Yejide? Give me a second. Y'all, I'm sorry. Yetunde.
I think it's Yetunde.
Yetunde's mom, my Alte queen, who likes squirrels, she, her mom owns this hotel out in,
I don't know what it is, but it's like a spa and spa resort hotel, like a collaboration between all those three. I think it's called starts with the A.
I'm looking something for it because I do like it when we go to new places and we learn like new cities and things like that.
I can try and find it for you.
Of course.
Because it's taking too long.
No, of course.
So she runs the Afe Resorts and Spa in Abeokuta.
There we go.
Abeokuta in Ogun State.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So they get there, and there's only one bed. And.
And y'all know what's going to happen when there's only one bed. It means there's only one bed.
And of course, my girl Byojin is like, oh, you have to go get a new room. I was like, girl, this is your husband.
And by the way, at this time, Kunle is, he is hot, okay? He says, my wife is gorgeous. This is the love of my life. She thinks it's a sham, but it's not. This is real. This is for real.
He said,
real.
This is very, he's like, there was not a single moment in this I was faking.
Yeah, I was playing along with her, just, you know, for funsies. Like, this is a real fake.
He's like, I know I said I wouldn't lie, but I have been lying. And the lie is that I've been faking it. This is real, okay?
Exactly.
But she's like, go get your own room. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to put it under a different name. And their names are so dumb. Like, so his pseudonym is Ramsey Ike, which is just a play on the two Nollywood actors, Ramsey Noah and Jim Ike. It's very obvious. And then hers, I think, is like Genevieve Johnson, which is Genevieve Nanji and Mercy Johnson. And I was like, if I was a CEO and I was hiding from people, this would be.
But they were so young when they made the names. And so I think it's really fun.
And they have a little banter about it, like, I made up for you, you owe me money,
Yeah.
So then, at some point, he, like, goes back to her room, because she sent an email after work hours, like, of something that was due last week, and he's like, how are people supposed to believe that we are literally knocking boots right now if you're sending work emails? And she's like, oh, right. But she's standing there in a negligee. I love the word negligee.
Yeah. Standing in a negligee and my boy cannot focus, okay?
He's struggling.
I think at this point, like, is he, like, trying to tell her, like, the truth about what he had, the conversation he had with Malik? And he's just like, oh, right. And so what happened was, and then he's looking at the curve of her breast and he's just like, and then and she's like, what happened? He's like, oh, wait, where was I? what did I stop? I thought that was really funny because he did, like, three times.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But we do learn about what Malik said on the phone, because last time we saw him, he was on the phone with that. But he essentially said that Malik liked Nkem. There's so many characters in this book. Nkem liked Kunle. At one point, there was a drunken night that Nkem asked Kunle, like, why have you never tried to get with me? And he was like, he's like, something in his spirit never took to her. And now, obviously, he knows what it is. She's conniving, classist, evil, wretched, you know, just a few names. But at the time, Malik liked her. And he was hoping that once Kunle got with Byodun, it would stop Nkem from trying to pursue him. But it didn't, and that's where some of her vitriol towards BG comes from. So then, for some reason, when Kunle told Malik that he was going to do the do with her for the first time, and he gave her advice, Malik used his big mouth to go and tell Nkem. Nkem now said, oh, I don't believe you. I need proof. And then Malik, like the dummy he is, said, I'll get you the proof. Why? Why? And that's why everybody was there that night. But then he felt bad and he didn't do it. He just happened to be standing there because the flash on his phone went off and, like, you know. But you know who was there? My top suspect.
Yeah, it was the brother.
Brother to Sleem, okay? And he took the
video. Can you imagine? He's the one who took the of video, you guys. Disgusting.
His blood brother.
Repulsive behavior. And then it's so conniving because he kept it for all this time just to bring it out again. Yeah, exactly. Just waiting to throw the bomb out and so that he could just lose his shots to becoming CEO. Crazy business. So Poulnay is explaining all this and my girl already has like tears in her eyes because she's like, what in the world? What is going on? Like, this is so fucked up, which it is 100%. Well, at least the truth is out. At least we know. And now I have to find a way to murder that boy. Oh, murder. Sorry. I meant to punish him. I think after they do the whole thing, he's just like, we should get some room service. And he's like, actually, no, let's go out instead. So I think, like, I love when restaurants have, like, smaller restaurants and the hotels have these, like, tiny mm-hmm. little different restaurants around. And they have, like, different themes.
Like the one in Cuba was like, oh, Spanish today.
I was like, oh, seafood. Thank God. I haven't eaten in 5 days. Y'all, listen, we went on an all-inclusive trip to Cuba in 2019, and the beaches were beautiful. The people were kind.
Rum was delicious.
Exactly. But that's all we can say.
The food?
When it comes to food?
You could feel the embargo that the Americans are putting on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember like when they brought me cheesecake, they actually brought me cheesecake. So that was very.
At least you didn't every day look for a freaking Fanta. I thought obviously the Fanta here in North America tastes different. The Fanta in the global South is the Fanta you want to drink. So I'm thinking, we're going to Cuba. I'm about to ball out. Like. They said, no, Coca-Cola, Fanta, none of that gets here because the Americans won't allow it. And I said, every day they served me something that tasted like vitamin C tablets and water. Okay? It was very watery every single time. The mangoes were so good, though. Mm.
The what was good? Mangoes. Oh, the mangoes were fantastic. All I had was mango and bread. That's all I ate.
Then the last day when we went to that Spanish restaurant, the food was bumping.
Oh. Oh, Lord. It was like, thank you, God. A meal. A proper meal. So, yeah, they go out for dinner. And it's interesting because, like, she was just ordering stuff. And he was because I think it's his perspective, this chapter. He was just looking at her. He said, look at my wife. By the way, you guys, in part two, it changes. This man says, well, I have to go home to my wife. Well, my wife, the book no longer calls her by her name. It's like, my wife is at home. That's my wife.
He turned into Odelia. He thinks he's me. He's trying me in my bag. Okay.
Which was really funny because I could see the shift. It was like, oh, like they're no longer mentioning her name. He's just saying my wife.
Yeah, I think at one point she even tries to say like temporary hubby. And he said, husband, wife.
Period. Don't get it twisted now.
But there is a point where he's looking at her in the light, like as they're sitting across from each other. Also, I love all the songs that are playing, like Mariah Carey's "Oh Holy Night," Brandy's "Come a Little Closer," "Boys to Men." Was it? As I sit up opposite her, my eyes sweeping over her soft lit face and the tiny gold studs on her ears that make her so fucking beautiful. Her face is bare, save for a transparent gloss on her full lips. I wonder if she thought about me as she dressed up as I thought about her. I like her this way. I like her every way. I've fallen for every single version of her multiple times over.
I love that. It's a very common confession I see in a lot of romance novels where they talk about loving somebody in every version, every universe, every happening.
It's my favorite one.
It's the most common. It's everywhere. They always mention that.
In every universe, I find you. Oh my God. I love that song by Akilah.
One thing about girls, we gonna say stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. staring at her and the I love you is burning his mouth. You know what I mean? He wants to say, but he has not. It's like, he's been fighting himself. It's choking, suffocating him. He's fighting for his life. Anyway, after they have their dinner, they go back and they say, and he says, like, he doesn't want the night to end, which, you know, I understand. He's like, let's watch a movie. Let's catch up on like our deal to watch all these movies. She's like, I'm tired. He's like, no, it's all right. Like, you fall asleep, but let's just start something. And so they do. And obviously, you know, she's like me. You start to doze off. And she falls into a sleep. And my boy is just like,
his dream is dreaming. Let me tell you.
He's looking at her. He's like, now I go to the bathroom. I gotta empty myself. Or some sorts. Man, so I don't know what sensation they have, but from what I've heard some people tell me, it's intolerable. Like, they can't stand it. They
we're not pushing this blue balls propaganda here. No, they have to,
like, when you talk about emptying, from what I said, that's what I said, from what I've heard, they said they can't stand it. It's intolerable. Like, it's,
I don't believe them. Sensation.
That's what I heard.
I don't believe them.
And that's what my girl wrote in the book. So you better talk to Tommy Lola.
I will talk to her. But I will not be pushing this blue balls propaganda. I just hate it. Men are like, oh my God, if I don't bust right now, I'm going to die. Like, shut up.
Because that's why, to me, honestly, that's how I'm seeing it in this situation. Because the way he was describing, he's like, I gotta take a cold shower. I gotta take a walk. I gotta empty myself. What is going on?
I was like, dude, if you don't just close your eyes and go to sleep, like, splash in water. I think I just lack sympathy for men, to be honest. But, like, really, that's truly, true. I don't
buy
the... If it was me, this wouldn't be me. But if...
Okay.
So I get the essence of, like, whoa. I just don't hear it for men. I just don't, because, like, this is feeding into the blue balls propaganda. They act like if you don't do something about this right now, you will die. At best, you'll be a little annoyed with life.
Exactly. I am with you. But the way it's describing this book, I'm like, okay.
No, this is crazy, because I was like, okay.
This is madness.
Get your rocks off, I guess. But why did Miss Girl wake up immediately?
Glass? This man is in the bathroom basically trying to get rid of whatever's going on. And he's thinking about her. His eyes are closed. He's touching himself. He thought he was dreaming. We switched to the next chapter. And she is looking at him as it's happening. And he's just like, you know what, girl? Baby, come closer.
It definitely was giving sexy love. Do the things you do.
No, really. Because my girl's like, okay, you know what? Now that we're here, might as well. I have never read a scene where y'all doing it in the shower before. This is my first time seeing this.
I'm just glad it wasn't toilet. Just really glad, because I was like, please get up.
Wait, just repeat what you just said.
Because he was sitting on the toilet.
Now, I said, okay, thank God I heard it right. Because I'm just like, I've never seen the shower.
I said, I'm just glad it wasn't.
It's not the toilet.
Because he was sitting there. And I said, the whole time I was like,
I don't know some of the logistics of that one. Anyway, yeah, my girl comes over, and yeah, y'all, they do the little, they have shower sex. That's what it is. Essentially what it is.
And then,
at some point, he's just like, no, girl, let's just get it over this. And then grabs her, puts her on the bed, and
sensual. I'll give it that. I like
it. It was what?
It was very sensual.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And
why is she giggling to herself?
You know, everybody has a type. That's my type. So it was that, and he was very, I know, oh my God. This is a public forum? Okay, so yeah, they do all that, and they love it. They basically consummated the marriage. So good for them. Yippee, yippee, yay. The next morning, so sweet. She wakes up, and there's a little card, and he has such a beautiful note that he wrote to her. And by the way, it's her birthday. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, she's born on 20. She's a Sag queen, just like me. Sorry.
Right. So yeah.
No, because we have to talk about it. Because me and BG definitely, I feel kindred spirit with BG, and it's probably because we're both Sagittariuses, and you know,
100%.
And that means my Kool-Aid is also going to come and save me from poverty. Amen.
Amen. So she wakes up in the morning. It's her birthday. There is a little card, and I think there are some boxes around with gifts and stuff. And he writes her, I'm going to have to read this in its entirety because I thought it was so sweet.
Just looking
just
for
like,
it.
I put the chapter, then the page number here so I remember.
Go off, girl.
But he says, my lovely wife, you make me feel so incredibly happy and safe. You bring me peace and stability in a way I could never have imagined. You're beautiful and your soul is even more beautiful. I feel truly lucky to be sharing this birthday with you. No matter how things end, you will always be special to me. Happy birthday, Abiodun Mi. What is Oko e Atasa? It's like a friend.
Girl, I don't know. I tried to Google translate some of the Yoruba in this. Like, I think when he was talking to her uncle, there was like a little conversation. I had to Google translate that one. But this one I tried. Oko is like husband or wife or something like that. Okay. But then I didn't get the second part. So I just gave up. I just know it's sweet.
I think it's more of like, oh, I'm thinking it's more like this formal term that my parents would call each other. It's almost like a friend, like something along those lines. That's what I assumed it was, at least. Anyway, that note made her cry, made me cry as well. I was a little teary eyed because I thought that was extremely sweet. It's just so thoughtful. Let's move on.
No, let's stay right here because I was here smiling like a Cheshire cat when I read it, like genuinely.
Like
speaking.
A Cheshire cat. What cat is that? Let me Google it.
A Cheshire cat?
A Cheshire cat.
Cheshire.
Yeah, spell for me, love.
C-H-E-S.
C-H-E-S?
Mm-hmm. H-I-R-E. Cheshire.
Oh, I got it.
I've never seen it. Is it cute? Is it cute?
This is what you were smiling like.
No, that's evil, the man. Phrase. The phrase is smiling like a Cheshire cat.
But why would you want to smile like this?
I don't know what it looks like. Let's find out.
It's so scary. Oh my God.
Oh, it's from the movie. So
yeah, so you have that big like smile, like the Grinch smile going all the way up to like the
ears. There's definitely how I was smiling like this.
Oh my God. Honestly, I've learned something new.
You don't know this phrase? It's
I know that pink like cat.
Yeah, smiling like a Cheshire cat is a phrase.
I've never heard
an idiom that means to smile broadly, especially in a self-satisfied way.
Okay, self-satisfying way sounds. Wait a minute. That's why I said it's a Grinch. So like almost like you have done something that nobody knows. It's almost sly.
Like this.
So that's not a good, it's almost,
I don't care. I was still smiling like that because my homegirl.
Oh, got it wrong.
No,
because
anyway,
we learned something.
Because my homegirl is pretending that this is fake. Meanwhile, her husband is writing soliloquies and I don't know other poetry terms. You know, my dad paid big, big money for me to go to school.
I know. But like soliloquies, respect Shakespeare.
I mean, sonnets, writing sonnets.
No, I understood what you meant.
Writing sonnets, and she's pretending it's not real. But I am smiling like a Cheshire cat because I'm like, oh, it's not real, huh? This feels really real to me. So I'm definitely like, you know, I don't even care anymore, bro. The note was sweet. My girl got she got a bag. She got a Mercedes. She can't even drive.
Yeah. Right.
And shoes, stilettos. No, not bad. She got a pair of designer stilettos and a limited edition watch. And then a Mercedes Benz.
Yes. And when he came back through that door, she said, I'm gonna take it all up for you. Let's get into it. And they do their little thing. And, you know, in the post-lovemaking clarity, he's just like, I know what I'm going to do. I have a plan.
He turns to her, he's like, I know what I'm going to do with my brother. What a weird time. But go off, I guess.
No, oh, that's a perfect time with Julia.
He took posts that's when you really, real that's when you really are thinking. He said, I understand it now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay. And then we move on to chapter 17. And this is when the truth ultimately comes out. So he sends a text to his mom and sends a text to his brother to meet at the same place, but different times. First, his brother shows up and now he's talking to him and saying, okay, like, you tell me, okay, tell me what's your beef with me? Huh? And he's just like, so you actually want to marry that girl? Like, what's wrong with this man? Like,
he's really I'm sick. Sorry. He's tapped every in the time head.
This man is on my screen. Yeah, my screen, because I watched this book. It's really irritating.
Han is also tapped in the head. Because she said she watched the book.
I watched the book. But do you know what I mean when I say watch the book?
It's playing in your head.
It's playing in my head. Yeah. So I was there and I took a pause. I had to pause. And I said, what is he saying now?
Basically, she has to stop reading.
Anywho, so at this point, Taslim admits as to why he's so upset with his mom and his life. And Abdullah, you go ahead and round it up, because honestly, I remember being like, mah.
So essentially, she's like, what did I do, bro, to offend you? Like, I'm your brother, bro. And he's like, right. What did you do to offend me? That's funny. It's painfully funny watching you walk around like a victim all your life when you're the most privileged fool that I know. You got to grow up with your parents. I lost my dad at the age of 2. Our mother pampered you, sending you away to Ibadan to shield you from gossip while I had to bear the full brunt of the scandal. Look at the boy whose mom has killed his dad for his money. Is that not the one whose stepfather married his mom after she helped to kill his dad? Did you not hear about how the Ajayi family was ruined? I heard it all. You think I'm offended? Nope. I'm enraged because I was wronged. I'm not taking anything from you. I'm simply righting an injustice. When Nkem becomes CEO, she will control the media arm of Falcon. With her help and that of the board, the PDC will endorse me to become the governor of the state in 4 years' time. The Ajayi name will be reborn from the ashes of our mother's scheming. Now, here's something. I think we forgot to mention this. Part of the reason why Nkem wants to join hands with Taslim is because her own father died as well. And for some strange reason, she believes also that it is
he was assassinated or plotted.
But as we learn later, he died in like Enugu or somewhere else, not even close to Lagos. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, you know,
it's one side of beef, let me tell you.
And this, just that, pure delusions. Just delusions. So with that being said, she then like he's saying, and there's so many things here. Why do you believe strangers that your mother killed your father? Why do you anyways? Just, and then on top of that,
I
like
childhood trauma, undiagnosed problems, sociopathy, carrying on with exactly like carrying on with the same stuff into your 40s, into your 50s, into your 60s. Now look at you. As he's saying, confessing all this stuff, Mama walks in, mm-hmm. So she catches like a little bit of what he said, and I think it shocks her. And she's a very calm lady, but I think in this moment she felt a little bit like. Like, even though she's talking with her voice, like, a little bit cracked, she's just like, what? She does the thing that all Africans' mom
have I ever
said,
failed you?
Exactly. Multiple times.
Have I ever failed you?
What did I do? Me? Where are we? To make you behave this way. And then she's just like, listen, let me tell you the truth, what happened. My understanding of it is that Jimmy, who is Quinlay's father.
He's a drug addict. Cardiologist.
Yes. He was so.
Oh, not Kunle's father.
The rodent's father. It was a crackhead. We don't know if it was crack, but it was a mixture of all kinds of things. Okay, and because Jimmy, who is Kunle's father, was a cardiologist, he was actually helping him out. You know, like trying to figure out like how can we get this guy the better health or whatever it is. Obviously, when you are an addict, you know, we hope that you can recover and make it through. But for this guy, it was not the case. And he wasted a lot of his money, a lot of his time just trying to get high and just mismanaging funds for the most part. So the company that Kunle's mom built, she built it from like ground up. It's like, she's just like, let me just debunk this right now. I built this thing brick by brick. Okay. Right.
With Jimmy.
Well, you're... With, exactly. While your father was nowhere to be found. Okay, he was by the pipes.
At this point, he was dead, actually, because it was 8 years after.
Actually, you're right. It was 8 years after. And of course, naturally, she remarried. And the rumors were just like, oh, I hate us. Oh, look how quickly she got remarried.
Mind you, it's 6 years.
Listen, and this is like, is there a law against remarrying?
I just feel like because it's a woman, if it was a man and he got married 2 months after, they'd be like, yes, because somebody has to take care of his children. But if it's a woman, it's like, how dare you not be, you know, lamenting for the rest of your life over this man who was a drug addict at that. So he didn't even have the capabilities to be a good father. So I don't know why this man's talking like he's missed out on, like, anyways. But
it's just false ideologies about your father. Because, you know, I think it's also a combination, like, when you lose a parent when you're young, you start to forget them a little bit. And then you start to come up with stories.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I don't know what it is, like, illusions, imaginations of who your father could be and how, and maybe people talking greatly about him and everyone, you know, being a crackhead in, being a drug addict in the continent is actually taboo. In my family, it is. If there's someone who's an alcoholic or drug addict, they do not talk about them. They say, oh, you know, they're just sick. Right.
I mean, they are sick technically.
But... they are. But they mean sick of more of like a chronic, you know what I mean? Like back pain.
Yeah.
When it's actually a much severe problem. So maybe even like the mom should have maybe explained it. I don't know. And let them know the truth at some point before he starts coming up with stories and carrying on into an age where he's now re-releasing sex tapes to take his brother down. Like, be for real.
Yeah, you're just not a good person. This has nothing to do with your mother. It has nothing to do with your dad. Like, I don't understand sibling rivalry like this. Like,
what
did the boy do to you, really and truly?
Nothing. And he was a child. And Kunle was saying, like, I don't understand, like, my whole life, like, I don't know why you treated me that way, like, so, as an other, you know what I mean? Like, we share the same mom.
Yeah. So.
And that's enough. Shit, I have people in my family who I call sisters who are not even blood related to me, y'all. Like, they were just there, right? Yeah. So, it's just weird. He's a terrible person. He probably got his father's genetics. That's why he's the way he is. Anyway. What happens next to him? Sorry, I lost track.
So then basically from there, what happens is Tislim leaves, if I'm right. And the mom is like, I need to talk to you. And she's like, okay. No. So that conversation ends.
With another chapter.
Yeah, and then we go to chapter 18. And it's time for the vote. Yes,
it's time for the vote. But prior to that, we go, because it's now BG's point of view. She actually got a phone call from before the meeting. She got a phone call from her mother-in-law saying, can you come by the house? And of course, like, her, like, she's like, oh my god, like, what's going on? Like, this woman's calling my phone. My phone. And so she's like, oh my god. In a panic, she goes over to the place, and this lady tells her, honestly, I see you and Kunle as the next people for this company, like the legacy. I've done everything I needed to do. I am giving you guys my shares, which was a shock to me. I said, wow, God, like, by the way, Odile, this is December.
Yeah.
Blessings. The timeline from the moment this man came back into her life until the end of them. You see, that's where miracles happen.
Hey, Jesus. A man can't choose your destiny either for the worser.
Or the best. This is the scenario I'm actually looking for. This specific one, okay? Names and everything. Location as well. Because it's nice and hot during this.
Hannah said she's willing to relocate, okay?
Yeah. Now tell me, what's Lagos saying? You know what I mean? Take me to Benin City. Like, come on now. That's my hometown now. Anyway, so she's shocked. And after she hears the news, then I think that's when we go to the whole, like, they're doing the voting for the next CEO. So everyone casted their votes. And guess what? Nkem and Kunle tied. Everyone's like, oh, okay.
Jeremiah so
what
got happens two. Now?
Sorry?
Jeremiah got two votes.
Oh, Jeremiah got two. Good for
so
Jeremiah.
So they gave him a bonus. And if the COO position is open, he will be promoted. And both Nkem and Kunle will get a bonus, But yes. They have to do a revote. And that's where they leave us on that one for now.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that we know who told Inkem about the Situation Room. And it was, I don't know her name, Methusar or...
Mysterious.
Homegirl who hates Kunlei for whatever reason. Like, she thinks he's the reason she hasn't gotten promoted. But really, she has a stank attitude and nobody likes her.
Wasting your energy, instead of finding time to elevate yourself and prove yourself, you're wasting your energy hating on other people.
Yep.
Y'all don't, it's just lost efforts. You know what I mean? Like, stop trying. Anywho, so that happens. And then, do we also find out who, what was that in the next chapter about Timmy's personal assistant?
Yeah, I guess this is all in the next sweep. So next chapter, we find out that he gets CEO position because yes. They acknowledge the work that he's done with January Media and, like, you know, even handling the PDC stuff. And he also has the biggest shares now over his brother. And I think his brother kind of feels bad for everything that happened. So he lets him know that he's going back to Stockholm. And Kem's taking a break. She's probably in Stockholm too, or maybe not, because I still don't believe that relationship.
Care where Kim is and what she does. Good riddance. Bye.
Literally. So then from there, then we find out, like, the person who told who. Oh, because their thing leaked, the contract they were trying to do of.
Yes. So, like, just before the voting. The contract gets leaked by the personal assistant of Timmy.
Imade. And the thing is, like, when Byudun asked her, like, is this girl going to sign
an NDA? Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand you women. You like a man. A man doesn't like you. You Move think on. That if you remove this woman, the man is suddenly going to like. He doesn't like you, fam. If he wanted to have been with you, he would have been with you. But he didn't. So then,
a man who likes you makes it obvious. And a man who doesn't like you also makes it
so
obvious.
So then you do this vague, pathetic, beneath you, pick Misha behavior of, like, trying to ruin the woman for what? Now you've ruined your career. You don't have a job in this hard economy. And you still have no man. So what are you? An idiot.
Did you get the house?
Did your house get bigger? Did you get the guy? What did you gain from bringing another woman down? Where to Gabrielle Union? Nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. And so that whole fiasco happens and they're trying to like get on top of it so it doesn't become a big scandal. But because they did not sign anything on that little contract, they're safe. So we're just like, oh, it's just hearsay. Like,
yeah.
Okay. No one cares. At this time, a small little thing happens. So when Byudun was going to see Kunle's mother and she was in such a rush, she actually left her phone behind. So after my boy got voted in as CEO, he was calling her and my girl was not picking up. And now he was just like, that's weird. My wife's not picking up her phone.
Literally.
Wait, my wife. And so he goes into this frenzy where he thinks she left him.
What do you mean anxiety-induced panic that your person doesn't like you and hates your guts?
He had a panic attack.
Literally.
And he went back to her old place, because she's packing up, because she doesn't stay there no more, okay? She paid Papa Juniper his money and said, we out. Plus interest.
Yeah.
Gone. Bye. So he shows up at her place, and she's just like, what's the problem? Like, why are you so panicked? He's just like, girl, where the hell have you been? I've been calling you.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, shoot. I left my phone because your mom called me. Like, it's just a whole chaotic stuff. And it's just like, well, I was wondering why you didn't have your phone with you because I was looking for you. She's like, well, damn, I'm here. Like, what the hell? And I'm just like, well, I thought you left me. She's like, left where? Where am I going? He's like, well, I thought you left me like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. Like, does it really cut that deep?
Yeah, because she did, like, let's talk about it, because it was actually just stupid the way she did it. Like, she immediately thought he was filming it. She didn't give him a time to explain nothing. And I get it, because you're thinking a young boy, he's kind of dumb, like, you know, he's capable of doing some kind of foolishness like that. But then at the same time, it's like, you never even told him you were leaving. You didn't give him a chance to explain himself. You just disappeared off the face of the earth and started going by Byudun. Like, hello? You're Noella. Second of all, of course he's going to feel away because he didn't do anything. So now he knows he didn't do anything to warrant this behavior, and you just left. And the boy already has anxiety issues from the fact that his parents are faulty, okay? So
true.
Now the love of his then, life is going to a different like this, school.
This fake trial marriage that they're doing, which is no longer fake, but you know what I mean? He's thinking to himself, well, at the end of it, like, you can go. And so now he's probably thinking, oh, yeah. She decided to go.
She's like, I'm not going anywhere, babes. I decided I'm mostly going to stop pretending. I love you. You are my soulmate. I'm not stop loving you. It's been tepid for a little bit, but like being around you just reactivated the fact that I love you fiercely. Okay. I want you and you only. All right. I'm not help. Put my purses in the car. We're going back to our house. And yeah, it's just be evil. It's be evil. Beautiful.
And I think that just drives us into the last chapter where it's close to New Year's and Mama Kunle does, because I don't acknowledge the older brother, so it goes straight to Mama Kunle, the second child. She does this annual dinner party and everyone is invited, everyone's having fun, the drinks are flowing. We get a little glimpse of Alex and Yetunde.
Yes,
which I thought was really interesting. You know, Alex is Alex likes the girls. Alex is queer, okay? And so is Yetunde. And her mom, Yetunde's mom refuses to believe that.
Listen, they're sapphic, okay? They're sapphic lovers, and...
That's what it is?
Yeah.
100%. And everyone lives happily ever after.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, man. Perfect ending. Good drama. I loved it all. The characters, I think that's why I said I was watching it, because there's just so many dynamics happening in different parts of the city. But overall, yeah, y'all, and that's how the book ends. Finny.
Okay, I know we technically already did ratings, but now I'm thinking to myself, why are we not giving it a 10 out of 10? What is missing from it, right, that would make it not a 10 out of 10? Why is it not a 10 out of 10 for you?
Okay, so maybe there are slight gaps for me.
I think just I may have the same reason.
I think there are just a bit slight gaps where I was like, okay, like, for instance, when I found out it was Byodun's birthday, shock me. No, genuinely, in the beginning, I was like, I'm learning with the characters. We are on this journey together. Like, I'm not the know-it-all, no. We are moving at the same pace. So maybe maybe fixing up that story, make sure I'll pass it on to readers that it was her birthday, whatever it is. Cause I'm like, wow, such a coincidence that marriage night is also birthday night. You know what I mean? Okay. I would say slight little stuff here and there. And that's why I gave it a 9 out of 10, but that is a high ass rating. And not only that, it's a world record breaking rating, because it only took me 5 chapters to rate it 9 out of 10. I said, I don't care how this middle part is gonna go. I just know it's gonna be wow. 9 out of 10.
Just wow.
No, seriously. First 5 chapters, I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
The record breaking being Hana's personal.
My personal. I don't think I've done it before in the past. Immediately. And it was just, and also I like the size of the book. Enjoyable. Like it gave you exactly what you need. And also, this blurb didn't tell me anything about the book. Lies. Absolute lies. Marriage of convenience, not mentioned.
You're right.
That's why I said, me and the characters were on the same, we were on the same plot of land. We were trying to figure things out together.
I think it's better than this way. I don't like it when you guys reveal too much in your trailers and your summaries. Like, this is best the way that it is.
And then, lastly, it's the only thing I'm going to say. I love a dual character type of chapter where you're jumping from one perspective to the next perspective. But I think I like this one because it's almost like, that's why I said it feels like I'm watching a movie, because as one scene is happening, they're telling us we're driving back to earlier that day or earlier that, like, I don't know how to describe it.
I know what you mean. Like, it's almost like you pause the film to switch,
exactly.
Yeah.
And Now we're in a different character. Like, I'm like, what happened? But then it adds up to where you left me in the last scene. You get me?
I like that.
And that's where I'm giving it a 9 out of 10 because I just like the way it was arranged in that way. But yeah.
Yeah, I think mine would actually be a 9.5. My only complaint is like... I think it, like, I agree with you. Like, I feel like it could have been longer, like a little more fleshed out, like, you know, more. I feel like, especially at the end, it felt like a little
rush. We're trying to just rush it, finish
Yeah. Like, enough. I feel like, I don't know. I just think my only thing it would maybe because I enjoy it so much, it just needed to be longer. Like, I need to really see the plan, like, play out. And I understand, like, we're also working on a very tight timeline because it's like the book ends on the 27th of December, so right. But maybe I do want to give it a 10. I don't know,
give it a 10 or like, just round it up, stop playing with numbers. I thought you were good at that.
I'm not. Yeah, I guess I'll give it a 10. My only thing is I wish it was a little more fleshed out. Like Hannah said, like, it was suddenly her birthday. I was like, oh, did we, maybe I missed it, maybe we did discuss it and I missed it, but like,
yeah, it was not ringing bells for me. I was like, happy birthday. I said, what? I thought it was happy marriage.
No, I'll give it a 10 out of 10. I loved it. I think Quinlay is a great love interest. I think there's so many characters, but I liked all of them. I hated a lot of you. rightfully so. But there was a lot of world building. I feel like we said that in the first episode. Like, and I liked that there was a lot of world building. I felt like when Han talked about watching the book, I felt like I was in the office at Real FM. I was at the complex when she's running from her landlord, from Papa Juniper. Like, I felt myself at the wedding. Like, I liked it a lot. And I think Kunle's very, like, romantic and real. And, like, yeah, I really like Kunle. I think my thing is, like, honestly, I like a man who is, I don't like to use the words y'all love using with masculine air, feminine air. I don't like it. But I do think, like, it's good for men to be some sort of, like, sure of themselves. But I like men who are soft and, like, romantic.
Yeah.
And I like the portrayal of an African man who is soft and romantic. And his mother's just sensitive. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Because I think most men are sensitive. But the way their sensitivities come out is usually very toxic, chaotic, and not what you want to be around. But I like a man who can be honest and be like, no, I love you. Like, I love you down, girl. Like look at the note he wrote. Like, that's so sweet. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like especially African men, there's this thing of, like, trying to be, you know, real tough,
machismo,
real hard.
Yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
It's like, no, be soft with your woman. Be a baby. Like, not a baby, but be like, you know?
No, be soft, really. Yeah. Be soft with everybody because no one wants that attack. Like, no one is attacking you. And I really think, and I'm going to say this again and again until the day I die.
Okay.
But a man should really read contemporary romance novels because the way you're being treated, like, maybe you can learn how to unpack some of your issues and maybe see how, you know, men who talk about on the podcast, they always talk about, oh, I know women like this. I'm just like,
no,
we
you
are
don't,
so tapped in the head that you guys think that small bubble that you're in where you see baddies all the time is what is a representation of what the entire pool is. There are 7 billion of us on this planet. Don't be ridiculous.
Eight now.
Everything is seen from an Americanized perspective. Don't be ridiculous. Like, pick up a book like this and really understand the dynamics of masculinity, femininity, romance, relationships with fathers, relationships with mothers, the whole thing, because it's all in here. Like, and it's such a short book too. Like, if you can read, hopefully you'll be able to go through the pages easily, but read romance.
Yeah, I just like, I think I really like Kunle for that matter. Like, and I like men who are patient, especially because, you know, like, he knew he didn't do anything, but his whole thing was like, let me prove to you that I'm the man that I am. Like, I'm not who you think of me. And it's not like, oh, you don't, and then, like, just be gone. I know a lot of it is, like, if a man really wants to, he'll do what he can. But, like, yeah, I just want to see more soft male African softness characters. Like, you know, I think it's good for my psyche, my healing. And, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of, like, hardness that I find men think they need to, like, even with, like, their partners, like, they feel like they have to be, like, you're not going to run me over. You're not going to trick me into, like, you know, you're like, not going to figure me out. Like, fam, nobody's paying to be. The battle's internal.
Yeah, no, like, one's fighting you.
Nobody wants to be with Batman. Like, please.
Exactly. And then they pass that aggression to their kids. And I think that's where I even, like, I get really upset with that kind of stuff, because I feel like a man who doesn't know how to be soft with people, adults and people around them, yeah, are going to be horrible fathers.
Kids, yeah.
Sorry. You're going to tell these kids some wild things, and then, look, now you've abused a child. Great.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important to show Kune, like, being around children. And, yeah, like, yeah. And you can see him actively trying to correct the wrongs of his father. Like, he recognized what his father did was wrong. Meanwhile, like, a lot of men will look at what his father didn't be, even if they know it's wrong, they'll be like, well, I'm just a man, this is just the way that I am. No, you lack sexual discipline. Like, listen, you know, at some point you have to grow up. Like, I don't know when, but it has to be soon. You're getting really old. Like, your teenage years are old, like, they're gone. So, but I think it's, and like you said, like, a lot of us come from homes where dads are absent. Like, they may be there, but they're not present.
They're not emotionally there. And that's why when I say that Kunle, like, I see, like, he can definitely be a financial provider because of, like, the legacy that his mom, mm-hmm, built for his next generation. But his emotional side is what really drives me the most. He just has that Jenny empathetic... Yeah, like, he just has it. And I feel like that's someone you can trust, someone who's reliable, someone, mm-hmm, who you can honestly learn to respect. So,
yeah, if there, I y'all. Were to, if I have to use this moment to manifest.
I was going to ask you a question, but finish what you were going to say.
No, ask me first, so let me see if I can.
I said, if we were to put Obi and Kunle right here, right in front of you, without even thoughts, who are you picking?
This is quickly, so hard. No, this quickly. Is so hard. This is.
And mind you, they both kind of have, like, similar.
They're very similar. I think that's why I like, yeah, them a lot. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
Kunle or Obina?
Bring me the Ofada stew, because I'm picking Obi. I'm sorry.
For those who haven't listened to our review on Jane and Gara's, where we ended again, please do. Odelia has a very, very healthy, you know, obsession with one of the main characters. Like,
that is my book husband. Like, I love, yeah, a lot, and I feel bad because this week I did a video about, like, my favorite book husbands, and I put him third over all. But I did that just solely because the way Kennedy Ryan writes her men, like, it would be, yeah, like, I like Obi the best, like, but Yasmin's man,
that Josiah,
man, Yasmin's man, and that's, I think that's the difference. I think I even said this when we were talking about it, like, even I feel this way with this. Yeah. You hear me saying, send me someone like Kunle, because this is Beodun's man. This man's not mine. Okay? I respect my, yeah, sister BG.
Yeah. He makes it very clear, yes, who his girl is.
I respect BG. I'm not here to break up a happy home. I respect Yasmin. I know that's her man. But I know I could take Obi from Dooney.
Y'all, by the way, you guys, we've been doing this for how many years? 2 years? My girl, she has said in every version, in every lifetime,
in every universe, I'm finding Obi.
She'll take Obi from Dooney. And, you know, honestly, you can, because Dooney,
Dooney was just somehow.
That girl was just, hey, oh, Dooney.
Like, literally, Dooney. I felt like, normally, like, I understand, I will say, like, I understand these books, romance books are self-insert to a certain extent, but, like, there's sometimes I read, I'm like, this is not my man, like, this belongs to you, and I'm, mm-hmm, I love both of you together. That's how I feel about these two. Like, I love Genevieve and Shane in 7 Days of June, like, they're together, okay?
Yeah.
But Obi is mine, like, that is mine. That man is mine.
Crazy. Listen. Well, you, Brandy, and Monica can do your little thing.
But I will say this. If I had to say manifest a prayer, I would want the softness of both Obi and Kunle. Like, I think, yeah, I just want this I really just want this African man, like, for myself. Like, this is what I want. As a girl who's attracted to Black people, specifically African people, this, I want this. I don't want the misogyny. I don't want the...
No, you can have that fake, one. It's yours.
A submissive alpha man when you can't even do nothing. Like, I want this. Give me
and
this.
And you will get it. Because, you know, I'm just going to bring a quick little clip. You know, Tony Tone, Team Tone Tone.
She means Tony Tone on the British Nigerian lady.
I always think of Tony Tone. You know, like
The band.
The band. So she, I think she's married or she's engaged, married, but like they have like multiple, like different types of celebrations to the actual thing. And she did an interview with her hubby. Oh my God, what's his name? What's his name, Odulia?
Help Something me. With a T.
It's not there. I tasted it and then the maybe it's left. Not a T. Toby?
No, girl, that's too simple.
Okay.
That would be easy, wouldn't it? No, I just feel like it wouldn't be easy to like Toby, like, okay, girl. What the heck? When she privatized her Twitter, sorry.
Taye. Yeah. So they did an interview talking about the relationship because they did long distance for quite a bit of time because Taye is, I think, based in LA, and then of course Tony is in the UK. Yeah. Both Nigerian, I believe. And he was talking about like life is too short to be waiting.
I don't care, bro.
He's care. We'll figure it out one day.
It's Taiwo.
Tayo. And he was talking about life is too short for people to just be act like, especially men, like acting so like, you know, like I'm the boss, I'm the big guy, I'm whatever. You don't show softness, you don't show gentleness, and the earlier you unlearn the stuff, the patriarchy, to be honest, men always say it's men. Men always put this thing as women versus men. It's us against the patriarchy because it affects me and it affects you. If it affects you even worse than me because you really think that this thing is good. Anyway, but he was talking about softness and he was talking about the kindness and just showing your heart, wearing your heart on your sleeve. My type of man is wearing the heart on the sleeve. I don't want anything else. But you have to tell me, even the most difficult things, just tell me. Just tell me. And do it in a way that has kindness behind it. Like, don't try and rule over me. Don't try and possess me. You know what I mean? Just, we're equals. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that's all I got.
Yeah, I definitely, and a lot of that is like for, and he says that he's like, why would I be trying to impress a bunch of men who, like, I really want this girl. Like, why am I trying to impress somebody who I don't really want to hang out with? Like, I should be telling the person who I want, like, for real, and who's going to give me the things that these clowns are never going to give me, how I feel about her and what I want. But no, but you don't want to be seen like some kind of, like, softy in front of your friends. Oh, all of you should be soft, to be honest.
Yeah, and they come up with words like simp. You come up with words like... You know what I mean? Like, you're the ones making it up. And then you keep asking, oh, men, loneliness, men, whatever. You made this up.
Exactly.
You are the master behind the machine. Ask your friends, why do you come up with all these words to describe a natural and honestly healthy way of showing or expressing feelings towards yourself and other people? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to quote one person from TikTok. And he said, honestly, the loneliness that men feel or what, like, from what I see online is... really your reward for also being homophobic.
Actually, because there it is. You're afraid to hug your friends, you don't tell them you love them, you go around, you say something, you can't even tell your friend, oh, you look nice, without saying no homo.
No homo 2024.
literally.
Is it 20, is it 2008? What's going on?
Big no homo 2024. Like, it's crazy. You're doing that, like, if you hugged your friend, and I saw something out the other day about like how a lot, and I see this conversation all the time, how like a lot of men will pay women, sex workers, whomever, they don't even want to sleep with you, they just want a hug or someone to listen to, because they literally, because they don't have that in their everyday life, and they don't know how to create those things. Therapy would be cheaper, but you know, they don't have those communities. They don't know how to make those communities, like, with each other. Like, and I also think that's why it's so hard for women as well to try and make community or be in relationships with men. Because I'll always say, like, if Hannah could just be a man, this is my husband right here. Like, I don't know what else I'd be looking for. She is everything I need.
Aw, thanks, Odilia. Literally. Vice versa. Because, Odilia, right now, if you were to transform, hey, I'm going to tell my dad, you know that girl, Odilia? Yeah, she's mine.
Like, that's my wife. Like, everything I need. Let's stop the rumors. Everything I would want in someone is right here. But unfortunately, God cursed me with heterosexuality.
Okay. That's my only downfall.
That is my downfall. If not, we would have been together.
Absolutely. I swear to God, right? This would have been our fifth year. We're getting married next year.
Like, but we can't do that. And so then I'm forced to scounder the earth looking for her in the male form. And every time these niggas fall short.
Time. That tickled me. Looking for her. That's crazy.
It's true though, because like every time a man would do something that upset, like even my most recent person who I was like, this is a bust, I'd be like, Han wouldn't do me like this. Like, Han would never do me like this.
Not just me, girl, but like your friends. Like, you always have to think to yourself, well, you know, when I'm sick or when I'm tired or when I need to vent, why is that my friends are always there? Yeah. These people here are always around. But this man is asking me to crawl.
Making you beg for common decency.
No, you don't like me. You don't even want to be my friend. And so from there, it's just we're out. Like, it's not going
to
work.
Because they don't even know how to be each other's friends. Like, your friend calls you for the dumbest things all. Do you think, like, text Han? I think my egg exploded in my face one time, and I tell her. Like,
no, the most mundane things. You guys, if you saw a group chat, just what?
The group chat?
Just everyday happenings that are totally irrelevant to what's going on. But who cares? She wanted to share something. I respond. I laugh. Yeah, that's literally funny.
Oh, I have a photo. Okay, even if I have a man, I'm still sending that photo to Hannah.
Because she's gonna talk to the board of directors.
Literally, like, it's
like Hannah's
gonna treat me how Bella Hadid's dad treats her, where he's like Princess of Nazareth. Da, da, da. You're gonna be like, oh, cute. That's nice. Emoji. No. Let me go where I'm loved.
Okay. And let me stay there.
Listen, one of our friends, Hannah took a photo. She made the photo her screensaver. Mind you, homegirl has a man, a whole fiance.
Yes, absolutely.
And she said, forget him.
And she'll do it again.
The same friend, their anniversary came up, and I said, happy anniversary. And she said, girl, it's also our friendiversary. And I said, oh, I don't want to steal his moment. She said, forget him, girl. Yeah. And I'm supposed to somehow go out on the earth when this is what's treating me well?
Like, no. It's difficult.
I'm scared. But again, so if you are watching this or you know someone who is exactly like Hannah, please let him hit our DMs.
And vice versa, y'all. If you find a male version of Odilia, please. I'm begging you.
I'm tired of looking. I'm clearly not doing it right. So y'all, if you
know, we're trying our best. We're trying our best, but I really hope. But you know, this is why I like this pause. I think it's part of the reason why we even started this whole thing. Like, this is just nice. This is just so nice. It's so comforting in times when you know
when you gotta hold your pillow real tight.
Very tight, y'all. Very tight. And sometimes rereading chapters. This is gonna be my annual Christmas holiday read because I love it. I've already like put dog ears on it. I know.
Yeah, mine is worn out already. I just got makeup on it. Actually, right now I'm so upset about it, but clearly I loved it because it's been going back and forth with me to work and everything.
Yeah, and I've also been breaking its spine.
Yeah,
you know,
me
like,
too. And I don't normally
like
to
I said,
that.
I don't care. I said, I gotta read this.
Yeah, I was like, let me get in here.
Exactly. It's so good. So, so good. Anyway.
So, yeah, so I'm gonna tell you.
Thank you, Odilia. I know you guys, we like to ramble here. And so what? enjoy it. Or hop off. Actually, don't. Stay, please. This is your home, too. follow us on all our social medias. So that is Romantically Lit on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, and as well as YouTube.
Yes.
And then you can always email us at romanticallylit@gmail.com because, you know how we are. But before we go, Dilla's going to say something and then announce a new book.
Right. Yeah, so all of that, like, and very seriously, y'all, I'm as the new year's coming and we're deciding our TBR, I'm so very serious about this. Like, I want to read a Kenyan romance novel, a South African romance novel, Black South African, Black Kenyan, like, because I know there's others there.
Thank you, because those are the two countries that have a predominantly, yeah. Like,
like, and I know I say this like every week, but like genuinely, if you know people who are writing and it is translatable, like, we want to, we're so serious when we say diasporic, like, what is, I know there's a Black francophone woman or man writing, like, what are you guys writing about? Can we translate the book and read it? So if you guys have suggestions, please hit us in our comments or at romanticallylit@gmail.com. like, pretty please. I'm still looking for that Afro-Brazilian book because I know it exists,
and you'll find it,
and I'm gonna get it. But until then we're gonna keep reading, and our next read is
It's a handful of a book, because it can literally fit in your hand.
My copy that my mom gave me of Pride and Prejudice was this size. Like,
Pride and Prejudice is a pretty small book, yes. So it was bigger, yeah.
So it was like this size, and then a lot of words. Like, this one kind of has like a lot of words as well, on the page. So that's what it reminds me of. But yeah, we're reading When Love Visits by Comfort Omouvre. We've heard a lot of things about this one. Like, from the moment it came out, it wouldn't stop following me. It followed me on Twitter. It followed me on TikTok. It followed me on Instagram. I said, okay, we'll read it.
Right.
So, yeah. So, hopefully, it's very, very good. Very, very nice. And then, yeah,
we'll be starting next week. Very, very nice. Sorry.
I love you.
It's reached a point in recording where Dylan and I are starting to get a little bit delirious. But yes, this is our next book. We're super excited. I hope it lives up to all the engagement y'all have. But here we are. Okay. I really hope it does. I hope it's not like a facade. You know what I mean? Like, and there's an epilogue. I already checked. So
it's actually,
I checked. Yeah, I checked for you. Don't worry.
You see what I mean? So, a man would never do that, but Hana would do that for me. Do you see what I mean?
Jesus Christ, do you love me? What's going on here? Should I go tell my father we're about to get married? We're going to have a quadrilla.
Listen.
In fact, in my country, it's definitely illegal to, But, you know, we'll make it work. Okay. But anyway, that's what we got for y'all, folks.
Bye.
Bye.